One of my, not a high school friends, but he was an associate of mine in high school. He was not well educated. His name was Charlie Sayers. And of course, I didn't know what was going on in his life after I graduated, but going along with what Tyra just spoke of, he had begun a gospel tract ministry. And Charlie was, as far as I could tell, in high school, not really caring much about godly things. But then as time passes, you see these people whose lives have been changed because most likely someone gave him a tract and just turned his life around. I can remember we did this at Bob Jones University. We'd go down to the local movie theater on Saturday evenings, and people going into the movies and coming out of the movies, we would hand out tracts. And when you know it, when you miss or someone misses you, you're not present because of something occurring at school or whatever occurred. I didn't go a particular week. And someone inquired, where's that guy that used to stand out? Where is the one who gave out the tracts last week? But that's interesting. Tracts are a ministry. It's a great ministry. I know Mr. Billy gives out tracts every time we go to a restaurant. He has a tract for those who are waiting on us. So it's a good ministry. There was a fifth grade assignment given to fifth graders by a teacher in a Christian school concerning ways in which commercials could remind us or give us some ideas about how we could communicate certain ideas about God. And these are some of the things that were recorded. What God is like. God is like bare aspirin. He works miracles. God is like a Ford. He's got a better idea. God is like Coke. He's the real thing. God is like Hallmark cards. He cares enough to send the very best. God is like Tide. He gets the stains out others leave behind. God is like General Electric. He brings good things to life. God is like Walmart. He has everything. God is like Alka-Seltzer. Try him. You'll like him. God is like Scotch tape. You can't see him, but you know he's there. God is like Delta. He's ready when you are. God is like Allstate. You're in good hands with him. God is like VO5 hairspray. He holds through all kinds of weather. God is like Dial soap. Aren't you glad you have him? Don't you wish everyone did? God is like the United States Post Office. Neither rain nor snow nor sleet nor ice will keep him from his appointed destination. Some interesting ways. You don't like commercials, I'm sure. How many here like commercials? Well, next time you see a commercial, just try to relate it to some of the things the children related the commercials to. A few weeks ago, I began an introductory lesson from the book of Ezekiel. We saw the description, the appearance of things as Ezekiel could record them, as he could understand them. Everything is like or as the appearance of. And he had no real clear view of exactly what it is that he was visualizing. But he knew that it was the glory of God. When we see the living creatures and how they are described, we see they have, one has the face of a man, the one has the face of a lion, the one, another, a face of the ox, and the one looking inward has the face of an eagle. We see that they are clothed with wings, two sets of wings. Their feet are straight feet. And the amazing thing about these living creatures, they move across the universe like lightning, and they return. But they move in a straight pattern. They don't deviate to the left or to the right. If you've ever seen lightning streak across the heavens, then this is the movement of these living creatures. And I would imagine that certainly captured Ezekiel's attention, because at the end of the vision, we see him on his knees before God. He doesn't know what else to do. God has revealed himself in this particular manner, but with the living creatures, God has also, in this vision, provided a platform, a crystal platform. And on the crystal platform, there is the throne of God. It is the sapphire, blue throne. The crystal is like diamond or transparent so that you can see through it. And so Ezekiel finds himself utterly spellbound, I guess. You know, every individual who is going to do something for God has to have a vision for God. And God has to reveal himself in certain ways to us in order for him to gather in our attention, to cause us to focus on what it is he wants us to do. And certainly he got the attention of the prophet with this vision. Daniel has a responsibility to go to the people of Israel, not to just Judah. His prophecy is to the whole nation of Israel. Judah is in captivity. The southern kingdom is in captivity, but he's a prophet to the whole nation. He is a prophet in the country. He works with the average, everyday person. He doesn't have the privilege of working in the palace like Daniel. Daniel had preceded him some 11 years in Babylon. Now Ezekiel comes on the scene. He has the ministry to work with the people, all of the people of Israel. Daniel was a counselor. Daniel was a man of high position. He held the second highest office in the land of Babylon. He was in the palace. His ministry was political. Did you know that? If he's going to serve a king, the king's political, isn't he? Yeah, he's going to have a political ministry. He's going to work with the political people in Babylon. In so doing, he demonstrates, Daniel, demonstrates before leaders the ability of God, the power of God, so that the Bible says that these individuals recognize the God of Daniel. And so Daniel's a faithful witness, just as Ezekiel will be. Did Daniel have an easy life? No. But God placed him in an area of position to be a witness. Ezekiel's life is not going to be anywhere like anything like Daniel's. It's going to be more difficult. His ministry is going to be more difficult. God says to at the end of chapter 1, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory, or the Shekinah glory. Shekinah is in Hebrew, Shekinah in English. The glory of the Lord, when I saw, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one that spoke. Ezekiel is prostrate before God. He doesn't know what to do. He probably can't move. He's scared to death. In the beginning of the second chapter, the Lord God tells Ezekiel to stand up. That amazes me. Here's a man who sees this great vision, and he responds in the way in which all of us, I think, would. But God says to Ezekiel, stand up. Every person who has met God meets God in a particular manner, in a particular way. And God says to the individual, stand up. I can't work with you lying down. I can't work with you if you're going to be scared to death. I can't work with you if you don't listen to me. And so chapter 2, God says, he said unto me, son of man, stand upon your feet, and I will speak to thee. Son of man, an interesting title. It's used in the life of Christ some 79 times. To the prophet Ezekiel, it's used some 91 times. He is truly the son of man, Ezekiel. He's the servant of man. Jesus, son of man, was a servant of man. So it's a unique title to be called son of man. In C.S. Lewis's writings, he referred to the children of Eve, didn't he? If you ever read any of C.S. Lewis's Matura, he refers to it, to descendants as children of Eve or woman of Eve or whatever, designating where they are and who they are. So he says to Daniel, stand upon your feet. And when he stood, the Bible says that the Spirit of God entered into him. The Spirit of God entered into Ezekiel when he stood upon his feet. He can't do anything. He can stand, but unless God's Spirit is working, then Ezekiel's not going to understand. You take any portion of the Word of God, and without the Spirit of God, you're not going to enjoy the Word of God. Now, this is what's happening here. God is going to give Ezekiel his Word. And before he can receive the Word, before he can understand the Word, he has to have the Spirit of God. All of us, in order to serve, in order to be awake, in order to do anything in the name of Jesus, we have to have the Spirit of God. If we don't, the Bible says in Romans, we're not his. We're none of his. So that's important. The Spirit of God entered into. Know ye not that your body are the tabernacle of the Spirit of God? So the Spirit of God entered into Ezekiel. He spoke to me and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spoke to me. Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. See, it's the whole house of Israel. It's not to the children of Judah. It's to the house of Israel, to every Israelite, no matter what rank they held, no matter how poor, no matter their circumstance, it's to the whole house of Israel. It's not just to one particular group, but it's to the whole house. To a rebellious nation, They've rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. I'm sending you Ezekiel. I'm sure Ezekiel already, he's a 30-year-old man. And certainly Ezekiel was familiar with why God led the people of Judah into captivity. I'm sure that most likely he may have been a student, possibly, of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet before the exile. So I'm sure that he was aware of the attitude of his nation, of his people. We have a real problem in our country today. We don't understand attitudes of people. Did you know that if you're a conservative thinking person, you know what they're talking about? You don't have, there's a gene missing in your makeup. Yeah, something's wrong with conservative thinking people. You're missing a gene. If you're conservative thinking, one thing, if you believe in God, that automatically puts you in that category where you, something wrong with you. You need help. You need to have a transfusion, whatever. You need to have your DNA changed, whatever. And I was thinking, this is bad. Maybe the mark of the beast is adding that one particular gene that we don't have. I don't know. But I'm saying, do you see how the world looks at people who want to do the right thing and have the right attitude toward God? Isn't that amazing? And we don't offend people. The message of Christianity should not offend. It should be a message of hope and peace and joy and love and grace of God to live a life that's worth living. Attitude. A politician loses a race and he says, I haven't lost the race. I'm going to fight it. Hope he has to pay the bill. Rebellious people. There's another thing. Sharia law. Have you heard about it? Do you know what Sharia law is? Islamic law. They're starting to apply the principles of Sharia law in our country. In Oklahoma, bless their hearts, had a referendum, so people could vote whether to recognize Sharia law or not. It was a 70-30 split. 70% of the people said no. 30% said yes. I said to myself, something's wrong. Attitudes. Things are changing in this country. We are, when I say we, I mean collectively. We are no different than Israel. We are no different than any other nation. We are a rebellious people, rebellious as a whole, against the things of God, against the good things of God, against the good things of life. How in the world can people justify their behavior by destroying themselves with drugs or whatever and think that's life and then you've got one life to live and you might as well live it to its fullest and then after that you're gone, your body's going to go to the dust of the ground. They believe that. And then that's it. I'm glad that the Word of God changes our attitude and gives us a positive picture of life. Man, I'll tell you one thing. If we have hope only in this world, we are of all men, all people, most miserable. So we're living in a day and age of mixed up attitudes. Rebellious nation. I'm glad that in some areas of our country we had a return to common sense. I hope we have a return. I'm going to go on another trail. I hope we have more people with common sense. But you know, that's not going to save our nation. That's common sense, conservative people will not save this country. You know what's going to save this country? It's revival. You say, oh no, we have to hear that word again. If I hear it again, I'm going to. But that's true. We need personal, everyday revival. And you say, how do you do that? We better start letting the Word of God direct your life and my life. We 50% of God's people read the Word of God. 50%. You have 100. You have 100 people who call themselves Christians. Half of them don't read, and the other half does. But yet the half that doesn't read say, I'm a Christian. I was reading in the book of Isaiah, where it says concerning the nation of Israel and Gentiles, that the Gentiles, some one day is going to carry Hebrew sons in their arms and are going to bear the daughters as well. What a verse. It's an amazing verse found in the book of Isaiah. That we, the Gentiles, one day will carry Israel. And I was thinking of the United States. Wouldn't it be great if we maintained our allegiance or whatever to that nation as a government? Well, the only thing that's going to save any of us in this nation and how it's going to work in prophecy in the latter days, I do not know about how we fit in. But we're certainly going to fit in a particular way because the Bible talks about the isles of the Gentiles. Those isles doesn't mean islands. It means continents. All the nations. Well, getting back to Israel, they're a rebellious nation. They've rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me. They're impudent children, stiff-necked or stiff-hearted. Can't reach them. Stubborn. Self-willed. I'm adding other words. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. This is the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. This is what God says about the situation. And whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear or resist, for they are a rebellious house, you shall know that there hath been, they shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Whether they listen or whether they don't, whether they resist or whatever, they're going to know that there was a prophet among them. Whether they accept the prophet or not, they are going to acknowledge the fact that there is a prophet, there is a man of God among them. Men of God are not well favored today. I was really upset this past week about the church in Iraq, where these cowards, not terrorists, cowards, broke into the church killed I don't know how many worshipers. They do it, or they did it in the name of Allah. They were getting revenge for something. But they take it out on innocent people who are trying to worship God. They were not Islamic. They were Christians. It was the Catholic Church. I don't care what church it is. You break into it and kill people. Good things that good people try to do to make the world better. And the world resists. What a situation. Thou son of man, I don't mean to be negative, by the way. The Bible is a positive book. But negative things happen, don't they? Negative things can discourage you. Negative things can get you upset. Negative things can make you feel like you just want to go away and let whatever take place, take place. The message to Ezekiel was not anything positive. Hey, Ezekiel, listen. God says to Ezekiel, these are people that won't listen to you. These are people who've hardened their hearts against me. These are people that don't want to live right. These are people that don't want tracts. These are people that don't want to be reminded of their responsibility to God. These are people in your family who you know are unsaved and don't want to hear you say a word about it, that you're a Christian and they're not. They're stiff-necked. They're hard-hearted. They rebel against God. We live in that kind of world, in case you haven't picked up on that. There's so many things that illustrate what God says in His Word for us today. So many things. If you're up to date, if you're constantly aware of your surroundings, constantly aware of what's happening in the political world, happening in the entertainment world, whatever world, these things that occur should remind you of the day and age in which we live, and this is the most, they talk about it being the most fantastic age as far as Christianity is concerned, and it's right. Because I believe we're living up to the period of time when the Lord's coming back for the church. How worse is it going to get before? I don't know. That's another place I won't go to. But look how they're described. Son of man, don't be afraid of them. Neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. You ever look at a person? Did you ever have a person look at you? And you can read their face? I tell my wife, don't look at me in that tone of face. Because I can read her face. Some women have a tendency, no, I'm not picking on women. Some women have a tendency to raise an eyebrow. They got an eyebrow up here and one down there when they look at you. And when they do that, you know, you better be careful. Don't say too much more. You said enough, shut up. Am I right? Yeah, you guys have been there, haven't you? It's scary at times, isn't it? You don't know what's going on. Bobby, you're laughing over there? Okay, good. Don't be afraid of their looks. If they look at you with a hard face, you just look back at them with a hard face and do the same thing. That's what he's saying. Don't let their face get the best of you, right? Don't let their face get the best of you. Look right them in the eye. But people who don't want to listen to you, you almost have to look them right face, you know, you almost got to get in their face. You don't want to be too intrusive, but you want to get in their face. Ezekiel, don't be afraid of their words. Don't be afraid if they tell you to go somewhere, because you know you're not going where they tell you you're going. Don't be afraid of what they say to you. Isn't that interesting to emphasize what was said this morning? When we used to visit regularly with Buck, everyone in here knows who Buck is. And Buck, in his younger days, was a buck. He'd fight with people. You talk about not being afraid of words. He'd come right back at him, and I'm grabbing him by the coattail and say, come on, Buck, let's get out of here. Strong person. That's what God wants us to be. Ezekiel, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of their words. Look them in the eye and do what you're supposed to do. Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will not hear, whether they will hear or whether they will not forbear. For they are, once again, a rebellious people. Son of man, he says, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Oh, okay. Ezekiel, don't you start behaving like the ones that you're trying to win to God. Don't allow their words and their face cause you to start behaving like them. When I read that, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Right? He says, Son of man, be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I look, behold, a hand was sent unto me. It doesn't mean just a hand by itself. You know. And lo, a roll of a book thereon. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentation, mournings, and woe. Not a very positive message for Ezekiel to learn from what was written and what was given to him to read. And in the next chapter, he takes the scroll and he eats, which means that he takes the word of God and he applies the word of God. Doesn't literally mean that he ate the book, the scroll. It means he learned from the word of God. He learned from what God was saying. He understood the message. He digested it. He's going to use it. That's what we are encouraged to do today. Same as Ezekiel was advised 2,600 years ago. Take the word of God. Learn the word of God. Apply the word of God. seek my face in everything that occurs. Because if not, you're going to be just like the rebellious house. You're going to live just like your rebellious neighbor. You're going to do the very same things that God says are wrong for one people. You're going to do the same thing. If it's wrong for one, it's wrong for the other. Don't be like the rebellious house. Don't rebel. We've come a long way, ladies and gentlemen. Most of us in here have come a long way over the years. We are not at the age where we need to rebel against God in any way, shape, or form. We've come through a lot of things. And some who are younger yet will go through many things as well. But don't be like the world. Don't be like a rebellious house. Take the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Be informed. Let the Lord lead in your life so that we can effectively serve Him better. Father in heaven, we thank you for Scripture. Dear God, we know that all of the Scripture is given by inspiration. And sometimes when we read in certain areas, we just see just a little bit of that which can cause us to be negative. But in the positive manner, we look beyond the negative and turn it around and make it a positive. Dear God, your word is so clear. Your word is so precise. People never change. Sin is still sin. The unrighteous still live unrighteously. But dear God, we pray that you would help all of us to live in righteousness and in truth. That's your word. That in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can be successful and that we can serve and that we can understand your ministry. We can understand your word. We can understand the day and age in which we live and the urgency of the message that needs to be given. Father, help us. Bless us. Help us not to rebel, but to be faithful. I pray that you would bless our morning worship service. Be with our pastor. Be with our music, Lord. May Jesus Christ be glorified. In his name, amen.